You know you make me wanna shout, kick my heels up and shout, throw my hands up and shout, throw my head back and shout. Come on now, don't forget to say you will. Don't forget to say yeah.
Say you will.
Say it right now, baby.
Say you will.
Come on, come on.
Say you will.
Say it better,
say
yeah.
You will.
Come on down. Say that you love me.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Get It Committed Podcast. This time we're on episode 4. We're joined with Mike O'Grady. Mike is the head coach of Chatham University and he's entering his second year. He's coached before that Mercyhurst, Maine, and obviously Nicholls College as well previously. Pretty interesting background and gives a bit of insight into his school. So have a listen to it and see everyone soon. In Committed Podcast, this time we're joined with Mike O'Grady. Mike is the head coach of Chatham University down in Pittsburgh. Just outside Pittsburgh anyway. Before Mike joined there, he was previously the head coach at Nicholls. Before that, he was also with Mercyhurst in Maine. So his background stems from, you know, D1 all the way down to D3. I believe he was a goalie in his playing career.
Yeah.
So Mike, just tell us a little bit about your start, you know, your hockey career, where it came from, where you're from even, and, you know, how you got to where you are now.
Yeah, certainly. Been a nomad, right? Did the junior thing, and went from Dayton, Ohio originally. Grew up in southwestern Ohio, playing hockey. Saw it on TV one day. My dad had it on. He played and was like, "I want to do that." So, kind of story wrote itself from there. But played for the Ohio AAA Blue Jackets in Columbus. Played for the Barons, but finished my midget career with Ohio AAA. In a Gangers program there on the boys' side, and then went on to play Tier 3 juniors in Peoria, Illinois. Spent 2 years there with the Mustangs. Was the CSHL, now it's the NA3, but I owe a lot to those guys in helping me get my start. And then I ended up going to John Carroll in Cleveland, Ohio. They have a ACHA program. Played 1 week, basically, and then I blew up my knee, so I ended up having to have surgery. So, you know, as college coaches, we all talk about that career-ending injury. Are you going to be happy where you're at? And I certainly was. It actually allowed me to start coaching earlier. So while I was at John Carroll, I ended up coaching with their men's club team for 3.5 years prior to my start on the women's side while I was still an undergrad. So I was doing everything from equipment and video and recruiting and all that stuff. With their program there, and certainly gave me my start into the coaching world. Exercise science was my undergrad degree, so I worked as a strength and conditioning coach for a little bit after that, and then got the opportunity to go to Mercyhurst and work for Coach Sisti there, which was great. It gave me my start into NCAA hockey. I was hockey operations and worked with the goalies a bit, and really got to see a top level program and how it operates from that level. My second year there, we went to the NCAAs, and played Wisconsin that year. So got to experience that building during an NCAA tournament, which is very entertaining. And then, got my master's while I was there in organizational leadership. So a big thing that we were talking about there was organizational change. So I've gotten to certainly apply that to a few places I've been at. And then was at Maine and for a year with Ricky and Sarah, and they are the most amazing people in the world. I wouldn't be where I'm at today without them. The experience they gave me to be on the road and recruiting, I was the guy on the road. So I was out and got to see some places, got to go to U18 World Championships in Europe, when I was there, and, I spent a lot of time in Ontario and everything, and then took the head coaching job at Nicholls, spent 2 years there, and then made the move over here to Chatham. Being from Ohio, it was a move that made sense to get back close to family. So, kind of going from there. So it's kind of my background in a nutshell.
Nice, nice. So obviously you mentioned being at Mercyhurst and being at Maine. Now you're in, a different part of the world, and hockey is different, definitely from Maine to Pittsburgh. And Maine's kind of, you know, it's a little bit secluded, but hockey is a big, big place there, and especially on the men's side and the women's side as well, the great teams. So what do you kind of, just looking from a college perspective, what's the difference that you see off the bat between a school like Mercyhurst or a Maine in comparison to a UCHC school? You know, obviously, not, you know, we're talking about they may have money, the athletic scholarships and everything else, but, you know, what's kind of a big difference that you're seeing, and what you, do you want to carry over from that side of things and bring it into your program as well?
Yeah, I think, you know, each program taught me something different. I certainly run my weeks like, you know, we did at Mercyhurst, you know, kind of, you know, planning the way that we plan there and how we approached, you know, scouting and those type of things. I think, you know, what I learned at Maine was the culture aspect and the family, you know, aspect that I really just, I fell in love with, you know, how we did things there from that aspect, and a lot of the teaching stuff and the individual meeting stuff, you know, that we did. I mean, at Mercyhurst, I wasn't around for as much of that because I was, you know, doing some other stuff, you know, on campus and in class and things, doing my master's. So I just wasn't around for those when they happened. But at, you know, at Maine, I was, when I was around, you know, I got to learn a lot from that aspect. And I think, you know, just the way that we develop kids, you know, the resources, you know, I think the bigger difference is, you know, both those campuses have rinks on campus. You know, it's the ice is there for them, you know, and so at our level, you know, we have to be creative because rinks aren't always on campus. And so sometimes it's doing stick handling in the gym or, you know, video sessions, you know, being creative with those and using those as your individual development for players and a lot of that. So I think, you know, it's just being able to adapt to the situation that you're in, you know, and everything, and being creative with what you have. It's not about what you don't have, it's about what you have. So, you know, being able to figure out where to shoot on campus, if it's, you know, outside or, you know, in a cul-de-sac, or if it's in the gym stick handling, or, you know, the squash court, what have you, you know, being able to utilize those resources so you can, you know, do extra and everything, you know, and then, you know, video systems help, and, you know, we're fortunate to have have Exos. So we have a really good video system where we can break down, you know, a lot of film and use that as a teaching tool.
Yeah. So it sounds like you guys, your team is built for the coronavirus right now, because you can, you're already scanning and stuff outside. But no, but I think, you know, I saw a video there where you guys have your own locker room, your designated rink. So the, pretty much the rink is your home barn, and it feels like a home, right?
Yeah, it definitely feels like a home. That's for sure. They moved in really late the year before I got here, and stuff. And to the credit of the staff before, they did a great job with getting things set up. You know, we just added to it, you know, to really make it a place where the players wanted to be, and it was inviting, and it, you know, it was nice for them. So, you know, that's their area, and, you know, I'm fortunate to have a really nice office there as well. So, you know, I've got my area, but, you know, in our staff's area, but, you know, we are fortunate where we do have, you know, some luxuries, but being that we are off campus, we have to be considerate of the players' schedules, you know, and everything. So, you know, for us, we practice in the mornings because it makes most sense with our academic schedules, you know, and stuff. So it allows us to be creative within that 2 hours of ice that we have every morning. And, you know, then we go from there.
Nice. So yeah, let's talk about your team a little bit more. So what do you look for in your team, and, you know, what is the, you've been there now a year. So I think, when did you get the job? Is that a year ago?
Yeah, July last year. Yeah.
Yeah. So not even a full year under that belt, but, you know, and I'm sure coming in, you've looked at your team and you want to instill a different way of playing. So what is your philosophy in the way you want to play, and what kind of players are you looking at to kind of fit into that mold?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately we want to put in systems that are going to give us the best chance to win, whether that's adapting to a more passive way based on our opponent or a more aggressive way based on our opponent. You know, that's what we're going to try and do. I think we instilled a lot of that this year with the team, and then, you know, it is developing the finer points of those systems, or, you know, the skill set, you know, we were talking before we started recording about skill development, and, you know, that's going to play a much bigger role in what we're doing next year, you know, and things like that. But, you know, ultimately, you know, we got to win games. Like, that's a coach's job, is to win. And, you know, to care for their players, you know? And so we try and do that, you know, both ways and, you know, build relationships with our players and, you know, want them to want to be, you know, better and be engaged and want to get better and take those other extra steps outside of the rink to meet for video or to do a skill session on campus or what have you, you know, and things like that. So that's the important stuff that, you know, we try and do to keep going. So,
yeah, no. So like, so, you know, and we talked about this a while before we recorded about, you know, some schools are looking for that complete player coming in and you've got to kind of dominate from get go and be on the same page. And every practice is kind of focusing towards more on that team play system. But it sounds like you do a lot of video stuff that takes care of that. Are you looking at, you know, from your philosophy is about, all right, just because you come in day one, you know, you're this kind of, you're maybe at this level player, but by day, the end of the time when you're finishing your fourth year, I want you to be exponentially a much better hockey player. Is that how you guys are focusing it at China?
Yeah, I think, you know, and I think what we're trying to develop, we develop the skill side on the ice, but then the hockey IQ off the ice. That's kind of the way we look at it. And, you know, so we do want you to develop because ultimately you're 4 years here with as much practice ice as we have and things like that. We, you know, you should be getting better, you know, and things. I mean, it would be great to have complete players come in and, you know, but even those complete players can still improve on something. You know, it just might be the minute differences of, you know, how you're releasing your shot versus, you know, catching passes and giving passes, you know, and things like that, or, you know, doing things that are shoulder checks and working on that for D or what have you. Right. So, you know, it's, you know, it just changes and adjusts as we keep going. And as you play for that same coach and those things are there, then we can, you know, kind of key in on that for the players that are within our program on what they need to develop, but then also what does the team need to develop to be able to get wins.
Yeah, I think, and again, that's something that, you know, a lot of it's tough because you're in a position here as a coach where you definitely need wins because ultimately your job's also required in that and the school looking out for your wins, but you're looking also, you know, what's the best interest of the players. And it's a double-edged sword in so many ways, but I think, you know, the way that you guys are approaching it, just utilizing the off-ice side of things as well and utilizing that time that you can, it's fantastic. And, you know, so, like, let's talk about a little bit then just on the recruitment and how, you know, what players do and what do you look for in specifically, you know, just as a coach, not necessarily for your program. So, you know, we all know that a lot of these places are either exposure clinics or there is a showcase going on and, you kind of, you know, if you're walking into a rink and let's say it's like a rink like Beantown up in Marlborough, right? And there's 5-6 sheets going on and there's, you don't know where to look sometimes. You know, what are you kind of looking out for in players? Like what are the first 3 key characteristics on ice that you look for in a player?
I think it the best way to talk about it is to kind of go by time of year, you know, in all honesty, in my mind. I think in the summer, you know, who's moving their feet? It's a skill-based game. There's just, it is the way it is, you know, with most of the showcases. There's no system being put in place or
select team, yep.
Yeah. So, you know, you look at the skill set, right? You know, who has the puck the most? What are they doing with it? You know, who's moving their feet without the puck, trying to be an option, creating space, creating offense? Who's talking, right? Like that's the biggest thing we, you know, we talk about. Who's talking? You know, who can we hear? You know, and things like that, you know, and so that, you know, helps. And then as we move into the season, you know, and we start seeing them with their team and start getting ideas of what systems they are trying to play. Maybe that's through a conversation with their coach, cause we saw something and we just wanted to ask a question, or with players, you know, we'll ask those questions and then we can kind of explain the differences based on, hey, I see you doing this, but you know, this is what we would have you do in our program, but we still want, you know, you got to listen to your coach. This is where we would push you to kind of keep going with it, right? Or in this situation or that. And so, you know, support their coaches that are there and with what they're being taught there, but also explain like, this is where we see you fitting in and why, and what we would want you to do in that situation or that skill set. You know, so I think, you know, that's kind of where it looks. And I think like this time of year where, you know, obviously nationals were supposed to be a few, you know, a week ago or and everything. And, you know, some of the regional tournaments have happened, like that's that finished product, right? You've had a year, you're settled in. It's that, you know, same thing for us, right? We want to be firing on all cylinders at that time of year. And so that's where when we can get out and watch those games, we can kind of see you at your most complete stage, right? As a team and as a hockey player within that team, because everything's dialed in, or hopefully is dialed in for you guys, you know, to be successful.
Yeah. So like, yeah, if we touch back as well, I think you mentioned, you're talking about when you're at Maine, you were able to go to see the European World Championships and watch the national teams. And obviously I'm not from America, I'm from Europe, and working with a lot of European players as well. You know, what do you see the difference between, because the problem is that I see a lot that arises with the players and families and trying to get committed is they think it's all game, right? They think it's all, oh, I've got to go to this and this is going on. And they're filling their summer schedules so much where it's like, we all know from a scientific background, to become an athlete, there is phases to it, right? And it's tried a proven tested method from every single sport, and it's not something you can keep doing over and over again. So, you know, what are you looking for in terms of, you know, maybe what is the key, we could talk about two things, right? What's the key events maybe to attend, but also from a player development standpoint, what do you advise the players doing? What did you see different from those D1 athletes that they were doing? Maybe they weren't on the ice as much, maybe they were, but you know, what were you seeing from that side of the game? And then what are you seeing as maybe the key events? Because as we notice, there is an exposure clinic every single day of the summer if you want it. And every single college has a camp now, you know, and from a player's standpoint, they can become very overwhelmed and just seeing, looking around and going, not knowing where to turn their head. And not knowing, you know, necessarily, and just kind of feeling that like they have to do everything, because if they don't, they miss that chance to kind of stand out.
Yeah. Well, I'll hit on like the showcases and the exposure camps and things like that first. I personally think that, you know, doing one early in the year, you know, right after the season when you're still in peak shape, you know, or close to it, is really good. And then again, later in the summer, right? You don't need to go to 100 different camps. I do think the benefit from the camps on college, you know, that colleges are offering and universities are offering, whether you're going to go to that school or not, you get to understand what that school type is like, whether it's a big school, small school, rural, city, you know, what have you, right? Is the food good? Are the dorms nice? You know, all that type of stuff. So you get to feel what that feels like. And ultimately, when we talk to kids, it comes down to a feeling. And so you get to feel what that feels like, no matter what school it's at, whether it's a big school, okay, this was too big, it was too massive, you know, or a small school where, hey, it's just too rural, or it's too, you know, this, or it's too quiet in the summer, you know, and things like that. But you still get to feel that. And, you know, that's a really good thing. I mean, I certainly grew up going to a camp at a university, and I knew, you know, from a very young age that it just, that wasn't the right school for me. You know, not that it was a Division I school and I wasn't going to play there, but, you know, at the same time, like, it, I just knew I wouldn't have done well at, from an academic standpoint, you know, there and stuff. So that was a good learning experience for me, to be able to have that experience. And so being able to go to those camps that are on university campuses just does give you an opportunity to figure out what type of school. It doesn't necessarily have to be at that specific university. It just, do I like this type of school, you know, and everything. And then that helps narrow down your process as you do go through it.
Yeah, I think that's so important. Like, we, you know, I talk about it all the time. Like, I'm a city kid, you know, I'm in New York City, and I couldn't go to a school, and I use it always the time, but like Clarkson or Potsdam up there, it's a little bit different than being in the city. So it's definitely something that I always talk with the players about. So like, then we, if we look at the summer, like just from a development standpoint, you know, what is something that you see maybe the top players are doing? Like right now, obviously, everyone's in the same boat. You know, people probably listen to this. Maybe they listen to it in years from now, which is hopefully the coronavirus is blown away by then.
Right.
Like, you know, what are the top players doing that maybe that can, like, how can players separate themselves that you think, like, from the off-ice standpoint that, you know, from a, that I always use this, and it's necessary, not necessarily right to use the example, but from the boys' side, when you're playing junior hockey a lot, you know, the emphasis there is, again, off-ice training. Mm-hmm. Whereas what do you see that's, again, it's, I think on the top end of the D1 is becoming very, very prevalent and probably more focused on than the on-ice sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you think that players can be doing right now to definitely benefit themselves? So if they do that exposure clinic at the start of the summer and then at the end, you know, in between that, what kind of training should they be doing?
Become a better athlete. Like, that's, you're, honestly, that's what it's all about. Like, you're gonna, you know, there's rules at the NCAA level for us. We can't talk to, you know, our players about hockey in the summer and things like that. And, you know, but just become a better athlete, right? 5 days a week in the gym, getting stronger, you know, taking care of your body, moving in a different plane than what skating is. As, you know, we both work on the female side, we've seen a very big increase in labral tears and hips, you know, over the, you know, few years. And I think it's due to the fact that we're playing a lot of games on the youth hockey side. And so, you know, getting in, moving in a different plane, playing another sport, whether it's lacrosse or softball or something different in the spring, where you're just at school with your friends, like that's a good thing, but become a better athlete. That's what the off season's about. And that's what's going to help you, you know, come back and be fresh and ready, right? If you know you're going to a showcase, then go skate, you know, get on the ice for a week before you're going, right, and go skate. You know, and I think at that upper level, it, you know, we are starting to see it. Like there's world renowned players that are playing Division I women's hockey, you know, and you're seeing their work ethic catch up, you know, to like, this is what I want to do. And I think the creation of the pro leagues have helped that, you know, both in Sweden and here, you know, in the United States. And, you know, I think that that gives them, you know, gives all of us something to strive for. And, you know, ultimately, so we're starting to see players push themselves and, you know, figure out what is the best training, you know, what's the best training for me. You're going to have a program in college at some point, you know, and you're going to be tested in certain things, but as long as you pass those tests and you meet those tests, like your strength coaches will work with your personal trainers back home. And, you know, my suggestion is to find somebody with a background who is certified. CSCS is the certification you're looking for, or CSCCA. Right? Find somebody who's certified, who knows what they're doing, can teach you the movements and things like that. And you don't have to be lifting a ton of weight with those. Just learn how to do them, because that is going to probably be a big proponent of your, you know, lifting experience in college. So that will move you along faster in terms of the development in the weight room, you know, when you get to school. And that's something that, you know, I think has become more prevalent, you know, now is, you know, we go to personal trainers, but, you know, it might just be a personal trainer versus someone who went to school, has the education, is doing current, you know, continuing education as they continue to go through their career and develop themselves professionally, you know, which works out great, you know, and I think that that's a huge thing, you know, and I personally don't like CrossFit. That's a personal thing. I don't think we lift that way or work that way for hockey. I think the high intensity workouts are great. The circuit training is great. And the premise is great, but we don't need to be lifting that, you know, as heavy as they do in necessarily in CrossFit gyms. So if CrossFit's the only thing available in your town, that's fine. And I, you know, there are really good gyms that can adapt and will help you. But there's also other gyms that, you know, may not be able to help you. So I think it's, you know, doing your homework, just like you do on your coaches, do your homework, you know, when you are deciding what gym you're going to go to and facility you're going to use. And right now we're all stuck where we can't go to a gym. body weight, you know, workouts are great. There's a lot of, you know, great strength coaches out there. You know, ours does remote training for us and has a program, you know, that we send out to the kids, and, you know, they're doing that at home, you know, and there's nothing, you can get a really good workout in doing a lot of body weight. In fact, we did all body weight our first semester here this year because we needed to go back to basics. It was part of where we were at and our, you know, in the situation. So it's, you know, it's a great thing to be able to stay active and do that. And, you know, as hockey players, we don't necessarily need to run miles and miles, but hey, sometimes a long run is a good thing for just to clear your mind. And that's just as important right now, is keeping yourself mentally healthy as well as physically. So, you know, if it's that, you know, and you need a long run, go do a long run, you know, mix in some sprints and things like that throughout the week. And, you know, you'll find yourself being better.
Yeah, no, I think that's, again, it's something that a lot of players are scratching their head at, but it's something that people just overlook so much, I think. And it's, but it's also difficult because there's such a rush, I feel, sometimes to get committed. And there's such a rush that if it doesn't happen now, when's it going to happen? And just because now I'm a senior year and I'm not committed and I can't do a PG because my parents don't, you know, no one knows what a PG is. Whereas again, if we talk about the male side, right, everyone knows juniors. Everyone knows.
I was one of those sides. Yeah, so I did my time.
So if we talk about it and we talk about juniors, and then we kind of touch on like the state of women's hockey as well, as we see the explosion of the growth and the talent level definitely increasing. But there's, you know, there's new programs being added, and there's obviously some that are on the brink of maybe not, you know, being existing around. So, but the program levels aren't being added as fast as the talent level and the demand is there. So do you think that, you know, like the PG year is a really big, you know, from a development, is it something that you advise? And what do you think like the current state of women's hockey, and where do you see women's hockey in the college level and maybe professionally, like in 3, 4, 5 years time? What are you kind of like seeing, especially trickling down to Division III level? You know, I think the talent level is just going to increase even more, and the demand and the same, you know, kind of standards you see at Division I right now is just going to be there in D3.
Yeah. I mean, I think, I think that, you know, we are continuing to grow, which is great. It provides, you know, players with more opportunities, you know, to play college hockey and everything. But I think we got to get to that point where now, as we've grown, we're going to close that gap between the teams that are already here. You know, and I think it's a great thing. I mean, you've got the creation of, you know, the Division II schools are doing their thing to now being Division I, and, you know, it's national collegiate at that level and everything. And then we've added, you know, a number of programs, and we have, you know, two more programs that are new coming into NCAA Division III in 2021. You know, I think that, you know, it's great for the growth and the development of the game, providing opportunities, because those opportunities are what is going to grow the game at the base level, right? And I think that that's a huge thing. Every year that there's an Olympics, we see a spike in new female hockey players because they get to see it on TV. You know, and I think that's a huge thing. You know, being able to broadcast our games, Hockey East is now, I think they have a contract with Nesson, which is awesome. So it just puts it in front of more eyes. You know, the NWHL streams their games, the SDHL streams online in Europe, you know, and everything. And that's a really big thing. And it's a great product. And I think we've got to continue pushing the envelope to get more exposure, you know, and to get the game on TV. And, you know, whether it's our national championship for both levels or, you know, our games in general, you know, most Division III college programs live stream all of their games, you know, all their home games. And, you know, even when we're on the road, they're live streamed. So you can watch games. If you haven't seen a Division III women's hockey game, you should go watch one, you know, because it is really good hockey. And there are, you know, players that have transferred down from Division I because they like the balance better or whatever their reasons are, you know. And so, you know, I think that's where, you know, I think that'll be the biggest thing going forward in, you know, a few years, is getting that exposure, you know, for players, whether it's through TV or what have you. You know, I think the pro game is still in its infancy. I think there's, you know, it's awesome what's being done, and, you know, right now, and we have pro women's hockey. I mean, that's awesome, you know, and I think it's just going to take time to grow, you know, and we just got to be patient, you know, and everything. It might still be in the same spot it is from now, you know, in 5 years. And that's perfectly okay, because then it's proving to be sustainable. And that's the biggest thing. We've got to just continue to keep kind of, you know, planting the seeds, and then eventually it will explode. And that's what's awesome about it. And, you know, I think for our Division I kids, and even Division III kids, the opportunity to go to Europe and play pro is really cool, because that's an experience that they can get, you know, in their future after graduating, you know, no matter where you've played. And yeah, you may not make money, but you got to spend a year in Europe playing hockey and, you know, and that type of stuff. And that's a really cool life experience if you're able to do that. And it, you know, hockey can open up doors that way. And, you know, certainly my assistant at Nichols, who's now at Long Island, you know, she played 4 years at Syracuse, and, you know, then went and played a year of pro in Italy and absolutely loved it, you know, and stuff. So I think that's, you know, I mean, it was an opportunity for her to explore, you know, and travel and do some things, you know, and I think that's really cool. So, you know, my hope is that it just continues to be around and, you know, slowly grow, you know, in terms of the pro game. I think with the college game, I think we're going to continue to grow. And, you know, I think we've gotten to the point where we've got to, you know, keep working on what we've got. And again, just kind of slowly do it and then, you know, go from there. But at the Division III level, a lot of our schools, like, we're enrollment based. Ultimately, bodies fill beds, and fill beds means money for the school, you know. And so adding a program, you know, I think women's lacrosse is probably the only other one that, you know, or lacrosse in general is the other fastest growing sport. And, you know, that's, you know, it's, you know, ultimately a cheaper sport, but to, you know, start, because the, you know, hockey costs a decent amount of money. But I think that it's a great thing that we're having these opportunities for all, you know, all of these sports to grow. And we just have to keep growing with it and do it at the youth hockey level as well. You know, and continue to get more kids engaged, you know, and whether that's in our markets, you know, at our level, like Pittsburgh's a hockey town. We've got the Penguins here. We've got us here. We've got Robert Morris, you know, who's a Division I hockey program. We're next year, I believe they're hosting the NCAA Frozen Four for the men. You know, it's a hockey town. There are a lot of kids in Pittsburgh that go play, you know, hockey, you know, at the collegiate level, and some of them being at the top level, if not the national team. So it's, you know, it's a really cool thing to see, but we have to continue growing that at that youth level so it can continue to, you know, expand and then maybe provide more opportunities down the road for, you know, Midwest, because, you know, all of a sudden hockey blew up in the Midwest and it's really good.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, you look at like places like St. Louis now, and the Lindenwood program, obviously having that rink in there, and it's definitely something out that Midwest area is going to be fantastic. But like, let's just touch back on one last thing here. I think, like, so I'm a prospective player. I'm, you know, I'm looking to reach out to schools, and what do you, and maybe I'm not on anyone's radar, maybe I've been playing boys or I haven't been to many showcases. Like, what do you recommend that people do? Like, we always talk about the email, right? And we always talk about, that introductory email, and there's a lot of things that I've had in the last week, and it's been pretty formal, like kind of writing a letter to the Queen, and if it was, you know, and then we talk a little bit about personalizing it, but, you know, what do you look for, like, in that introductory email? What do you, what's the key points that they want to stress? Because, like, sometimes, you know, and we're not really fortunate to have elite prospects on most of these leagues, because most of the games that they play in are showcases, so it's just kind of like, did the game even happen? Right. My hockey rankings is like a complete joke, I think, on the female side as specifically. Like, I don't know how they work it out, because it's just, and then whatever. And then there's a lot of teams that are independent. There's some teams that are national bound. So, you know, what do you, so when people put stats in, it's like very like, who's calculating the stats? So yeah, so what are you, you know, that introductory email, like, or if it is an email, maybe prefer a phone call, maybe it's a text, you know, how do you like the players contacting you and expressing interest in Chatham? And then how does the normal process go? How do you follow up? Like, how, you know, what's the kind of typical process of that?
Yeah, I mean, email is great, right? Email I can get to anytime, you know, especially during the season. You know, we're doing 100 different things at once, right? So, you know, but short and sweet is always good, right? Tell me who you are. You know, I want to know that you did that you've done some research on the school, right? If you're a kid who wants engineering, like, we're not a good fit for you, right? Like, that's a great example, you know, and stuff. And so being able to, you know, like, know that you did some research on us and that we have your academics. So, like, you're emailing me for a reason, not to just reach out and say, hey, you know, and everything, right? Like, you've done a little bit of research on the school, and it, you know, for whatever reason, you know, there, it seems like it might be a fit, right? You may not know that for sure yet, but it seems like it might be a fit. And so do that, you know, and everything, you know. But then, you know, birth year, you know, if you have video, send me, you know, even if it is a 2-minute clip, like, send me a little bit of video. Jersey number, color of your jersey, you know, help, you know, if you don't have the ability to highlight yourself on the videotape and things like that. You know, if you're sending a full game because it's all you've got, like, that definitely is going to help, because I'm going to have to find you in your shifts and everything, you know. But, you know, it can be short and sweet. It doesn't, you know, need to be that professional. You know, just talk to us. We're human beings. You know, we get it. All the research on our end says to just have a conversation with the kids, right? And everything. And so, that's what we want to do. And then, we'll get to it. You may not hear back right away. And everything, every coach is different in their response rate and how they go about things. But ultimately I think, for me, I certainly do send a weekly email out, to kids and, to recruits. And, a lot of that is just sharing our games, again, like I said, watch D3 hockey, and sharing our story. And, I think that's really important because you got to know where we were to know where we're going and everything like that. So, that's a big part of it. And then, if you haven't heard back, send another email. Hey, coach, hadn't heard from you. Just wanted to check in, and everything. It's okay to follow up, but also understand that based on your grad year, depending on if you're Division I's, they can't follow up with you, if you're a 2022 or younger, not until June 15th of this year, so it's different. For Division III, we can respond electronically to everybody. As long as you're in high school, we can respond electronically to you. We can have a phone call with you. So, that's a big difference, and that's based on the coach. They may just tuck those away into a folder for another couple of years and then start their list when they're ready. It just depends on how that coach decides to run their recruiting process, everything. But ultimately building relationships, that's what we're trying to do, because when you come here, you got to be able to handle the coaching staff, myself and my assistants included, telling you no, and telling you no, that's not how we're going to do things, and setting those standards and then quickly adjusting, because it's going to be different than what you're used to. And that's okay. But through the recruiting process, the better relationship we can build, the more likely we've had some of those conversations along the way, and it won't be as big of a shock when you get here. And I think that that's a really important thing to understand. We're going to celebrate.
All right. So we'll kind of wrap it up and I'll piece it together somehow. So just touch back and, how would someone reach out to you? What is your email address? And are you attending any camps or clinics this summer? What's your schedule looking like, and where are you going to be looking at players?
Sure. Yeah. My email is O'Grady, my last name at chatham.edu. It's C-H-A-T-H-A-M .edu. And it is pronounced Chatham. Everybody says Chatham. and everything. But you can find it on our website too, under our women's hockey page and everything. Right now we'll see what showcases I'm attending and what ends up happening with this. I have plans to attend, Beantown, if it's still happening, and anything that is still happening, we'll figure out. And then the CHS ones that were supposed to happen this week, are here soon, are in August now. So I plan on going to the Florida one again and, trying to get to that one as well. So, it's just going to be, I think, a wait and see game, right now with how everything's going. So, hopefully everybody's staying healthy and safe, and we'll kind of go from there.
Yeah. All right, Mike, really appreciate the time, and thanks for talking to us today.
Awesome. Thanks, Sam. Appreciate it.